to be able to celebrate mothers. Very excited to see the number of mothers that are here. Obviously, we're all thankful for mothers because without them, we would not be here. And so we're thankful for you, thankful for all that you do for us. This is the, thankfully, this is not the first Mother's Day that I have not been away from my mom, so it's not like it's extremely hard, but it's difficult when you're not with your mother. And I know that a lot of you are not able to be with your mothers today for various reasons. But as I was thinking back to the many Mother's Days that I was able to spend with my mom, it sure brings a smile to your face. It brings a lot of memories back to the times you're able to have with them. And it brings back memories of all that they've done for you. And this morning, as I was preparing for this morning, I was thinking about all that mothers have done for us and that my mom has done for me. And thinking about my wife and how this is her first Mother's Day. I'm excited for her with our little daughter. And you think about the characteristics of a mother. And obviously in the Bible that we can go a lot of different places to talk about mothers. But a few weeks ago, I was reading through Galatians, and I came through chapter 5 and reading through a passage that is very familiar to all of us. In Galatians chapter 5, talking about the fruits of the Spirit. And as I was thinking about preparing for this week, I was thinking that if there is one person that exemplifies the fruit of the Spirit, it would be a mother. I was thinking about all the different characteristics that it requires to be a mother, and obviously different people are going to exemplify these in different ways, but I thought about how a mother really exemplifies this to the fullest extent. And you think about the different characteristics that we see there and about how it relates to mothers. So we're going to look at Galatians chapter 5 this morning. Galatians chapter 5. And we're going to look at how the fruit of the Spirit in relation to our mothers and in relation to how they exemplify the fruits of the Spirit, but how all of us as believers need to be living in the Spirit. And obviously, all of us have been touched in one way or another by our mother. Even if you never knew your mother, she gave you at least one thing, and that was the gift of life. And we need to think about the example that our mothers are to us. And if you were raised in a home where your mother loved you and cared for you, you know exactly what that is like and what she truly means to you. But the greatest example that we have, obviously, in our lives as believers is our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And when He left us and He returned to heaven, He left with us the Holy Spirit. And He called us to live in the Spirit. And therefore, it is paramount, it is vital for us as believers to look at these different fruits of the Spirit, these different ramifications of what it looks like to be a believer, and see how we should be living more and more in the Spirit every single day of our lives. So if you are in Galatians chapter 5 with me, we are going to be looking at a few verses here. We're going to go ahead and read that. Galatians chapter 5, start in verse 16 and read down through verse 23. "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. Of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law." Let's pray this morning. Lord, thank you so much for your word. Thank you for mothers. Thank you so much for the blessing that they are in our lives. Lord, I know that each person here in this room has been touched in one or different, many different ways by not only their own mother, but by many different mothers. Lord, I pray that just as a mother shows us these fruits of the Spirit, Lord, and how they act, Lord, I pray that our goal would be to emulate you, that we would act as you would have us to act, Lord. And thank you that you give us these different things that we should be striving to live out in order to become more like you every single day. I pray that you bless now the preaching of your word in Jesus' name. Amen. So I did a little bit of research in preparing for Mother's Day and some different amazing statistics concerning mothers. And there's some amazing ones out there. I found that the oldest woman to ever give birth in the history of the world was 63 years old. Now, obviously we understand that there is someone in the Bible that gave birth at a much older age, and that was Sarah. But consider in more modern times that this woman gave birth, she was 63 years old. She gave birth at 63 years old. That is an amazing thing. That is the very old age to be having a baby. And you think the most births that are recorded was a lady in Russia that gave birth to 69 children. She had 16 sets of twins, 7 sets of triplets, 4 sets of quadruplets. That's a lot of kids. And the amazing thing is that only 2 of them did not survive past infancy, meaning that she had 67 kids survive later into life. That is a lot of mouths to feed. That is, now I think about that from the practical side. There's a lot of things, obviously, that having 69 kids would be a lot. There are 2 billion moms in the world at this time. You think of the number of people in the world, there is about 2 billion that are moms. Some stats that I found concerning the first year of life that I find very appropriate now, having a 7-month-old, that by the child's 2nd birthday, a mom will have probably changed around 7,000 diapers. Now, obviously, that varies from child to child. I feel like we may be closing in on that a little bit faster. The average time it takes for a mom to change a diaper is just over 2 minutes. The interesting thing is that it takes about 1 minute and 30 seconds for a dad to change a diaper. Now, more than likely, that is probably because they're cutting some corners, but we'll take the time. The average cost for a child in the first year of their life is around $7,000 on average, which is a lot. And obviously, some kids are going to cost more, some are probably going to cost less. The average cost for raising a child to their 18th birthday in an average middle-class family is around $240,000. That's a lot of money. You consider the investment that parents, both parents take, but that moms specifically, being the main caregivers, take in raising a child. And the gift that moms give to their children, beginning with the very gift of giving birth to them. And then continuing with raising them and nurturing them when they cannot take care of themselves. We consider the amazing gift that moms give to us. And as we go through and we look at these different fruits of the Spirit, as I was looking through them, it's amazing to think how I have seen, and obviously I have the best case scenario with my mom, is who I'm considering and who I look up to and who raised me. And I can see all of these attributes that one time or another she exemplified in her life. And as we think about the example that our moms were to us, how can we as believers then take the example that our mom is, and then we can think about the example that Christ was for us as well, and what he is challenging us as believers to live out in our lives. So let's look at these 9 different characteristics of a person that is living in the Spirit. So we see, first of all, in verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit, first of all, is love. If there's one word that I think encapsulates a mother, it is love. Someone that truly loves you no matter the circumstance. I think of the many times that I did something to my mom, indirectly or directly, and how she continued to still love me. And how she showed that love to me regardless of what was going on. The true sacrificial love. But then an even greater example of that is our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And how he came and he showed us love by dying on the cross for our sins. And the love of God the Father in sending his only Son to die for us. We're familiar with John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Think of the love that it took. We talk about this a lot from this pulpit because it is something we can never fully wrap our minds around. The love that it took for God to give his only Son. I only have one child right now. I have my daughter, Emma. I cannot imagine for any reason giving her up. There is nothing that I can consider that would cause me to give her up to anyone or anything. And consider the love that God had for us by sending His Son to an ungrateful people to die for their sins. That was His purpose in coming here. The love that He had for us. And how should we then take that love and treat and act to one another? This is Paul's main focus here in how we treat others. And the love that we need to show to those around us. And the love that we need to give to people even when they don't deserve it. Even when they're treating us wrong, even when someone is doing something to us that, boy, it sure doesn't seem to deserve love, that we continue to show love to them. Because it is a mark of someone that is living in the Spirit. You see, because it's not natural for us to show love to people that don't deserve it. It's not natural for us to show love when we don't feel like it. But what God is calling us to is to be living in the Spirit so that when that time comes, we are continually showing love to those around us, regardless of the circumstances. Secondly, we see the second fruit of the Spirit is joy. You see, this type of joy is a joy that cannot be explained by man. We all know what it's like to have joy. I am sure that most of us could think back to a time with our mothers where we have had joy with them. I'm thankful for many times in my life where I've had a joyful time with my mom. Now it is any time that I get together with her because we live so far apart. Any time I see her is just joyful, whether it's in person, it's on the phone, it's on FaceTime. Having time with someone close to you, there is joy there. We all realize that there's going to be times in our lives where there really is an absence of joy, where it's really hard to have true joy in our lives. You see, where should we be finding our joy in these difficult times in life? In the times where we really are struggling to find that joy, where really there is no reason that we should have joy based on our circumstances. Well, see, that's exactly it. We should not be basing our joy on our circumstances. Our joy, this true joy that the Lord is talking about here, is a joy that is found in the Lord. Philippians 4:4 says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice." He's not saying rejoice in your circumstances. He's not saying just rejoice because you have to. He's saying rejoice in the Lord. You see, Christian, when we are faced with difficult times in our life where the circumstances are all around us and we just can't see anything that's good, we can always go back to the Lord. We can always go back to what He has done for us, to what He's continuing to do for us. And we can find our joy in Him. And this joy is not based on circumstances. A statement in a commentary that I found said, "True joy cannot be measured by the absence of unpleasant circumstances." To have true joy, it means that you have this joy found in the Lord that is there in the good times and in the bad. Think of the joy that our mothers have in us and enjoy with us. And think of the times when really we did things to them that really shouldn't have caused joy. And yet they still had the joy in their lives. And think of the joy that our God has in us when we follow Him faithfully, when we serve Him. And this is the joy that we need to be showing to those around us. Thirdly, the third fruit of the Spirit is peace. You see, as with joy, this peace is beyond human comprehension. In the same way that really joy is something that typically we think of as based on our experiences and a situation that we're in and our circumstances, so is peace something that typically we only seem to go and have in our lives when everything is going fine. You see, we seem to only be finding peace when we are in the midst of a situation that is just fine. There's nothing to worry about. But someone that is living in the Spirit, living after the way of the Lord, finds peace regardless of the circumstances. We find our peace in the Lord. Philippians 4:7, "And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." In the same way that we are finding peace we're finding joy in the Lord, we are finding our peace, the peace of God. And what's amazing about this passage, we talked about this a few weeks ago, this is a peace that passes understanding. It's the peace of God. It's not a peace that we can get from other people. It's not a peace that we can get just from ourselves. This is a peace that we get by following and serving after God. There are times in our lives where there seems to be nothing but conflict and trial in our lives. And yet we can find that peace because of our relationship with the Lord. But it only comes if we are walking in the Spirit and seeking to serve Him in all that we do. Number four is long-suffering. Otherwise, we could translate that as patience. Boy, if there is a word that I think describes a mother really well, it is long-suffering. I love the old King James translation here. Long-suffering. Suffering long. We think of all the things that we have done to our mothers and how they suffered lovingly through that. I think back when I was younger and the things that I did, and I would like to say that overall I was a fairly good kid. And don't ask my parents, because I probably would say the same thing, I'm sure. But I think about all the things that me and my siblings did to my mom specifically. I think about the times when just this last Friday was her last day of homeschooling after 23 years. She started when I was 3 years old, and my youngest sister just graduated on Friday. And I think in all those years, in all the different times when we were doing class and she has five different kids she's trying to manage and take care of and teach, and the things that we would do, just run around and play and mess things up, and how she continued to love us and how she suffered long through those difficult times. But think about how our Lord has shown long-suffering and patience with us. And think how He loved us while we were still sinners. And how He continues to love us when we reject Him continually. When we decide that we would rather live in our sins than please Him. And think about how He has such true patience with us that we, once again, we can't even comprehend this. And this is what He is calling us to as believers. To show this long-suffering with one another. You think about it. God is not asking us to do something crazy. He's not asking us to do something that He has not already done. God is asking us to show patience with one another, to show long-suffering in our relationship with others, just as He has done with us. All Christians, the goal here is that we are not easily offended. That when someone does something to us that kind of rubs us the wrong way, and we really don't like that, that we continue to show long-suffering, we continue to show patience, that we show love to those around us, regardless of what they're doing to us. Paul is specifically challenging those that are teaching and preaching God's word to be long-suffering. If we are in a position where we are teaching God's word, that we are trying to tell others about it, God specifically calls those to be patient. In Timothy, when he is challenging the young pastor Timothy in chapter 4, verse 2, he says, "Preach the word. Be instant, in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine." Paul is saying here that if you are in a position where you are teaching others, if you're a Sunday school teacher, if you're teaching children's church, if you're in a school, you're teaching others, if you are teaching people, if you're in a position of authority, which all of us in one way or another, if you're a mother, if you're a father, we are to have long-suffering with those we are interacting with. We are to show that true patience to those around us. And that is a mark of someone that is living in the Spirit. You see, living in the Spirit is contrary to what we naturally want to do. We naturally want to live for the flesh. We want to do what seems right in our own eyes. But God is calling us to live contrary to that, to be living in the Spirit. Number five. We see here the characteristic of gentleness. See, God's example of gentleness is given to us in His effort to bring the lost unto Himself. 2 Timothy 2:4, "Or despisest thou the riches of His goodness and forbearance and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance?" I'm sure we can all think about how our mothers have been good to us, how they have given to us, how they have showed us love. But even if you cannot even place a time, maybe you have not been close to your mother, maybe your mother hasn't been good to you, we can all look to someone who has been good to us. We can all look to the ultimate example of someone that has treated us with fairness, with goodness, with love. And that is our God. That is our Heavenly Father. And just as He has shown us love and shown us that goodness in reaching out to us and trying to draw us unto Himself, in that same way, we take His example and we show goodness to those around us. Because if we're trying to live in the Spirit, we are trying to emulate Christ. We're trying to emulate what God has shown to us, and that we are doing that through the goodness that He has given to us and the things that He has blessed us with. Think about all the things that He has given us, how He has shown Himself good. Even if we're in a position where we really don't have a lot, financially we're struggling, our job is insecure, our family is going through a rough time, consider that God has given you the opportunity to have eternal life. And really, if there was nothing else that we could point to in our life, that is good enough. There is nothing else that we should even feel like we could ask for, but that He is giving us that opportunity to have that free gift of eternal life. Oh, how good the Lord is. Oh, taste and see the goodness of the Lord. It is right there for us. And then number six, we see the goodness that the Lord has given to us. We see what He has done for us. And we see the gentleness that He has shown to us. In Ephesians 4:32, it says, "And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." Christ is commanding us to show love, to show that goodness, to show that gentleness to those around us, in the same way that He has shown love to us. You know, it's not easy, as Paul says here in Ephesians, to be kind one to another. To not only be kind, but to be tender-hearted. To not only be tender-hearted, but to forgive one another. But what is the motivation that we do all these things? To be kind, to be tender-hearted, to forgive other people. You know, it's one thing to just kind of be kind to them, but to kind of be like, oh, I can never forgive them for that. I can never show them a tender heart because of what they've done to me. What is our motivation for doing that as believers? It says at the end of that verse there in Ephesians 4:32, "Even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." You see, when we are trying to live in the Spirit, when we're trying to be a believer that is following after God, we should not pull our motivation from what others are doing. Now, we can see great examples. We can see that we have a father, we have a mother, that we have people we can look up to in our life that have given us good examples. But no person is perfect. The most amazing mother in the world still has failures. But the only perfect example that we can go to is God our Father. And the love that He showed to us, the gentleness, the goodness that He showed to us by giving His Son for us is our motivation in how we treat others. Even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven us. God forgave us. Can we not forgive those around us and show them goodness and show them that gentleness? The number seven, we see the word faith. This is the idea of being faithful. You see, being faithful means staying true even when it is difficult. Galatians 1:23 says, "But they had heard only that he which persecuted us in times past now preacheth the faith which once he destroyed." This is talking. Paul's talking about himself. He's saying, even I who used to persecute believers, I am now trying to do my best to stay faithful, even though he was now being persecuted. A true believer, someone that's walking in the Spirit, is staying faithful regardless, once again, of the circumstances. If we are trying to walk in the Spirit, we're trying to live after the Lord, live after His example, we need to be faithful in every single situation. The number eight, we see the word meekness. The idea here is that you have a teachable spirit. Someone that is allowing others to teach them, to bring them along, to guide them. Psalm 27:11, the psalmist said, "Teach me thy way, O Lord." In Psalm 71:17, "O God, thou hast taught me from my youth, and hitherto have I declared thy wondrous works." Can we say with the psalmist, can we say that we want God to teach us? That we want Him to show us where we are erring in our ways and how He can teach us and bring us along to mold us after the image of His Son? Or are we just kind of saying, I don't really care about that. I think I can continue to go in my own way. If we are a believer that is desiring to walk in the Spirit, we need to have a teachable spirit. We need to allow God to teach us. We need to allow God to use people in our lives to open our eyes to things that maybe we're wandering from the Lord in. We need to have that teachable spirit. We need to show that meekness in our lives in order to be able to do that. And then lastly, the last fruit of the Spirit is temperance, which is self-control. This is the ability to keep our natural desires in check. The natural desires, the things that come natural to us, the things that we don't actually have to work at like we do with the fruit of the Spirit. Paul talked about in verses 19 through 21, that whole list of 13 things there where he goes back and forth and he says, all of these things that are natural for us, these evil desires, the things that we just do without even having to be taught, these are the things that we need to put off. These are the things that we need to show self-control and not allow to control our lives. You see, if we are someone that is wanting to walk in the Spirit, then we need to be doing that and not allowing ourselves to be controlled by our natural desires. You know, Christ said that a man can only serve one master. We can't serve two. We can't serve both our natural desires and as well follow after the Spirit. Christ said that we will either love the one or we will hate the other. We can't serve both. Either we are allowing ourselves to follow after our natural desires or we are allowing ourselves to live in the Spirit. And if we are living in the Spirit, then we are going to show that self-control and we are going to desire to not allow ourselves to be controlled by our natural evil desires. You folks, this morning, the goal is for all believers to live in the Spirit. Our goal is, as we're thinking on this Mother's Day, of the great example, hopefully, that our mothers are to us and the love that we have for them, as we remember all that they have done for us. And as we consider that, we think of the ultimate example of Christ. And we think of what He showed us. And we think of what He is asking us. Just a small price to pay for this very amazing free gift. He's now asking us, it is but our reasonable service to give our lives as a living sacrifice. And we can show that we want to do that by living in the Spirit, by putting off these natural ways, and by accepting a life that is living and fully committed to Him. So as we leave here today, as we spend time with our mothers, as we talk to them, as we encourage them, let us remember that as great of an example as our mothers are, that the best example that we have is Christ. And that in everything that we do, we should be striving to become more like Him. And we should be doing that by showing love to others. We should be doing that by having joy in our lives, by having a true peace. We should do that by continuing to have long-suffering, to being patient with people around us. We should do it by showing gentleness and goodness, by having a true faith in our lives, and by having that meekness, and by having that self-control, that temperance. And folks, we can do this only through the power that God gives us and the strength that He gives us in His Word. But it comes with the desire to live in the Spirit and not allow ourselves to be washed away with the fleshly desires. Verse 16, this I say then, walk in the Spirit. If we do that, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Let's pray. Lord, I pray that you would help all of us to leave here desiring to live in the Spirit. Lord, to all of these characteristics as we think about what you have set before us to live after you. Lord, that our sole desire is to live after you, to become more like your Son. And help us to do that by living in the Spirit. Help us be an example to other believers. Lord, to be a testimony to the lost around us. And Lord, I pray that you would use every single person here in a great way for your glory this coming week. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, if you could turn with me to hymn number 337. Number 337. Softly and tenderly, as we stand, number 337, we'll sing the first verse. Can you say that you are desiring to walk in the Spirit? Walking in the Spirit means that we're not just doing it every once in a while. It's a continual thing. Something that we are doing every single day. Are we desiring to do that? Are we living that out in our lives? Are we living that out for our families? Are we living that out in front of our coworkers and the lost? We need to be walking and the Spirit so that we do not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Number 337 on the first. Pray that today you have a wonderful time with your family, a wonderful time with your mothers and your wives. Lord, I pray that you would just help all of us to continue to live in a way that is honoring and glory to you. Lord, I pray that you would just help every single person that is here this morning to just desire to be living in the Spirit. Thank you so much for our mothers. Thank you for the example they are to us. Bless the rest of this day. In Jesus' name, amen. You are dismissed.